Well, Nando Tancho is with us today. Nando is the mayor in Whakatane, and proposed local government reforms aimed at creating larger unitary authorities have sparked concern from councils, including in Whakatane. And Nando, who says the changes are being rushed and could leave ratepayers footing the bill for a restructuring process that many communities have had little time to consider. Nando Tancho is with us today. Hey, Nando, it's great to talk again. Tēnā koe.
Yeah, morning, Dale. Good to talk to you too. It's been a while.
Yeah, thanks very much. And it's neat to know that you're, you know, still steering the ship down there in Whakatane. As a case in point, there are many other regions that are grappling with the idea, almost being bullied into these mergers. I spoke just a couple of days ago with the mayor of Wairoa about their reaction when the floods hit over the weekend, Nundle, and he said, you know, if we were part of the Hawke's Bay Council, we just would not have been able to respond as quickly as we did. There's an example. But the government's given councils a relatively short time frame, Nundle, to develop amalgamation proposals. Tell us who you think are driving the reforms and what evidence was used to justify such significant structural changes to local government.
Yeah, well, it's... Look, the first thing is, I think that probably most people in local government agree that some kind of reform is needed. And the local government sector a few years ago actually did quite a lot of work on what they called the future of local government. It's like a project. A lot of different council people involved. We had a big conversation through the country and came up with some proposals. And that's basically been entirely ignored and sidelined by this government, who've kind of come up with these ideas. And and you know, if we go back a bit, so just to identify the sequence of things, you know, back in November the government came out, they said, okay, look, we're gonna be simplifying local government, they called it. We're gonna sack all the regional councillors who've just been elected, they won't see out their term. We're gonna put committees of mayors across the region to run the regional council. So the mayors are going to have to run the regional council, run their own councils, and at the same time come up with proposals of what local government reform should look like in that region. But pretty much a strong push towards just amalgamating, creating unitary authorities across each region. So, you know, the unitary authority being the a council that does both the functions of the regional council and the district and city councils. So everyone kind of, then that was a proposal, it was a press release, there was nothing very firm in writing. They opened up for submissions, a lot of people, I think they had something like 1,100 submissions to it, and a number of councils said, look, we're kind of ready to go, we've been talking about this for a while. I think it was two or three councils, you know, or groups of councils, like, yeah, look, we're ready to go, let us do something on our own before all of this. So in May, they announced this Head Start process where if groups of councils wanted to put forward a proposal for how they might become unitaries and amalgamate, they could do that. And they had various criteria around it. So you could go into the Head Start proposal and try and determine for yourself what it might be, put in a proposal. That had to end by 9th of August, and then had to, you know, you've got till, if that gets signed off by Cabinet, you've got till March next year to develop a more detailed plan. Or if you're not in the Head Start proposal, you're going to be caught, they said, by this backstop legislation. And so when we've had meetings with ministers, we've gone, well, what is this backstop legislation? What might that look like? And there's really no answers. We'll figure that out later. There's been a whole lot of questions of clarification. What happens with Māori wards, for example? What happens with that level? What happens with different things? Oh, you know, you guys can figure that out, or we'll kind of think of it later. And the whole thing's got this feel of it being made up as we go. And so I've been puzzling because in terms of what amalgamations different councils might suggest or propose if they want to get into this Head Start legislation, the government's been very ambiguous about what they want out of it. So they set a bunch of criteria that they'll use to evaluate, and some of them are intention, you know, as regards like local representation versus economies of scale. And so this is the sector, it's kind of going, well, how are you going to weight those things? What are the actual outcomes you're looking for here? Again, there's really not very There's no real answer clearly coming from government. So I've been wondering, like, why do they seem to be have so little thought into what they're actually seeking out of any amalgamations? And it came to me recently, and it's obvious when I think about it. What the game here is, I think, is to get rid of the regional councils, and it's because of the environmental protections that regional councils provide, and they're seen by some ministers, and they've been quite publicly outspoken about this. Some ministers see this as a deterrent to economic growth, and so they're just going to get rid of regional councils. And what happens after that seems to be a bit of an afterthought. So that seems to be the play. And of course, the concern is that because these Head Start proposals, the time frame is so short, it's very difficult to give real consideration and work through what all the implications are. So there's no question in my mind that some councils are going to be making decisions in haste and are going to, some of those things are going to have to be wound back, or they're just going to lead to further problems down the line, rather than giving a reasonable time frame to kind of work it through. Talk with our communities, because we have statutory obligations to talk with our communities, and we can't meet those obligations really under the Head Start process. And the other thing I'd say is, I think they set up the Head Start process to, they were expecting, I think, just a small number of applications. But all around the country, councils are going, well, if the choice is either we put up a proposal ourselves or Wellington does it to us, we'd rather put it up ourselves. We'd rather make a bid to shape our destiny as communities for ourselves. And that's what I'm hearing from our community. That's what people want as well. So, I think they're going to get a lot of proposals, much more than they, or many more than they expected. And then they're going to run into a capacity issue because, one, they need the ministry to actually be analysing and providing advice to cabinet about which one should go ahead, and whether the ministry's got the capacity to do that for more than a couple, I don't know. And then they've said there's going to be bespoke legislation for each proposed new unitary. Well, so that's a separate piece of legislation they're saying for each one, and they're just not going to get the house time because house time's extremely precious. So it could be that we end up with a whole lot of them getting knocked back anyway. But putting, because it's a huge amount of time, it's a huge amount of energy, it's resources going into trying to respond, because this is just one piece of government reform. There's a whole wave of reform of local government coming our way. It's hugely costly to respond to. We have to, people say about, oh, councils use too many consultants. Well, we have to use consultants to help just understand what's being proposed, because we're trying to run councils and deliver all the services we deliver, and there's many, many things that councils deliver, and this is a whole lot of work on top of that, and it's fast, and fast always means more expensive, and so it's just a bit of a dog's breakfast, really.
That's the way it's seeming too. And I haven't appreciated the bully boy tactics out of Wellington, economic growth at all costs. And you paint a picture of regional councils as being the stumbling block towards economic recovery and growth, just as Māori have been painted or described in the same way because of our opposition to the degradation of sensitive whenua and the like. It's a treaty right that we have. And when we look at what happened forced into the treaty settlement process as well, into large natural groupings, which weren't favourable to many. Again, this bully boy antics that we're seeing from Wellington doesn't sit very comfortably with us. Look, they're not going to be able to do it before the election. So in a way, it's political grandstanding. It's a bit like promising the roads of national significance, isn't it? And half of them have already had a stake put in the ground. So it's political posturing, it seems, although there is, as we've seen, some nervousness because of the use of urgency and ramming through legislation nundaw. So it's alive and it's real. The government says larger unitary authorities will reduce duplication and improve efficiency. Really, there's the driver there, isn't it? You've mentioned how important it would be for your own council, and this is replicated across the country, to get back to the people you represent. We're not going to foister upon them something from Wellington without their input. Surely that's not the Kiwi way. So What are you anticipating here? I can't see it being done before November. It feels like a little bit of nervousness here because they too are watching the polls and realise how close things are. If it's going to happen, surely it couldn't happen before November. So we're looking at next term. Is that what you've been led to believe too? Is the time frame for corridor discussion and whakaaro been extended?
Yeah, there's a few things in there I'd like to touch on, Dale, if I can. The first one is, you know, this argument that that it's going to be efficient, more efficient, we're going to have economies of scale and all this kind of thing. And, you know, maybe there is something in that, but maybe there's not. I think there probably are some efficiencies to be found, but I think that the government has an expectation that may not be met by reality. So if you look across our region at the moment, the councils across the whole Bay of Plenty work together quite a lot now on different things. We've got various joint committees and mayoral forums and things like this where we work together at the Regional Transport Committee. We've got a CCO, a council controlled organisation, which we own collectively called BOPLAS, Bay of Plenty Local Authority Shared Services, where we already do quite a lot of shared services together and save quite a bit of money in doing so. And we've been in the process of investigating how we can expand the services that are delivered through BOPLAS. So we're already delivering quite a lot of scale where we're able to. There might be a few bits and pieces, and we've asked our CEEs, the mayors across the region have asked our chief executives to do a bit of work to investigate where further benefits can be found by working together. So there probably are some, but I think they're not as great as the government might have thought. And the other thing is that the benefits of those economies of scale are going to be chewed up, certainly for the first significant period of time, by the massive cost of these amalgamations. You know, you think what it takes to not just restructure a business, but to merge a bunch of different businesses together. That's what we're really proposing. And councils that do quite different functions with the regional council and the territorial authorities. So, you know, the cost of all that churn is really significant. So, you know, whether there's real efficiency to be found is a bit of an open question. It's an assumption more than a proven fact at this stage. In terms of tax on Māori that you mentioned, I think that's absolutely right. You look at the reforms to the Resource Management Act that are coming through, and there's a very strong move from central government to take away broader treaty-based rights and obligations on council and move towards only recognising things that are in settlement legislation. So it's really narrowing the scope of what tangata whenua are going to have a statutory right to have a say on. Now, in our council, we have very strong relationships, and we've been working really hard on developing better relationships after a pretty poor history, and we'll continue that regardless. I mean, we'll still be seeking to maintain strong relationships because that's in everyone's best interest. But the legislative framework for that is being removed, and even things like we've signed a couple of mana whakahono arohe agreements now, and we've got a couple of others in the pipeline, but they're being, you know, being taken away. And if iwi or hapu are not already in the pipeline for those, the government's taken away the ability to kind of apply for those. So we'll be still be looking at developing relationship agreements, but there's not going to be the statutory framework. So some councils won't be looking to do that thing. The government's definitely, and again, in the RMA reforms, just a whole bunch of things in there that are going to make actually more difficult for councils to protect sites of particular interest for Māori because of what they're calling regulatory takings, where if we protect an area, and they've specifically set it around sites of interest for Māori and natural heritage, I can't remember the exact terminology, but if we put in protections, then landowners can seek compensation from councils, which is going to make councils very reluctant to put in those protections. So there's a whole bunch of ways, you're quite right, that the Māori are under attack in terms of how Māori engage with local councils. But the other thing I was going to say was around the election is Because a lot of my community is saying, well, you know, we've got an election coming up. Can't we just do nothing and hope that you know, there's going to be a change of government? And what we've heard from, certainly from the Labor Party, and I've met with Tangihi Kere, I've heard him speak at various local government events as well, and the message we're getting from Labor is that, you know, broadly these reforms are going to continue. Now, they might change in detail. It could be that the timeframes maybe are eased off a bit. I think that's probably likely to happen. Some of the details may change, and that would be really helpful. I'm not diminishing those, but I think broadly these reforms are going to continue, and I think Labor has sought for amalgamations in the past. So I think we have to assume that the momentum for this reform is going to happen. So we're going to have to respond. It certainly does mean stuff after the election. If the government signs off these Head Start high-level proposals in August, September, then there's going to be election. The expectation is that there'll be legislation introduced in the new term of the new government, but before 2028, which is when the local government elections take place.
Yes, yes.
So that
I'm going to have to wrap it up there.
Should be in place for them. Yeah. Sorry.
No, that's fine. Look, I'm pleased that you've considered this deeply. It feels as though the communities also have to join the fight. We've been pushed from pillar to post, Māori, and it feels that local government is being subjected to the same sort of patronising treatment. These are very important discussions. The frameworks for local government have been established for a long time, and to have relative newbies or political tourists, as many politicians have described, coming in and pushing people around with their political swagger, it doesn't sit real comfortably. Nando Tanchos with us today. I look forward to more kōrero about this and other matters as well going forward, te rangatira, but we'll leave it there for now. Thanks so much, Nando, for joining us.
Thank you,
pleasure to hear your voice and your thoughts. Tēnā koe.
Thank you, man.
Kia ora, mate. Ngā mihi.